Welcome to the Membership Machine Show, talking you through your membership website from initial idea all the way to finished product. Here's your host, Jonathan Denwood.
Welcome back, folks, to the Membership Machine Show. This is episode 25. We've got a fantastic subject. We're comparing ConvertKit versus Fluent CRM. It should be a fascinating discussion. I've got some key points, areas where we can make a judgment call, which might be the best solution. I've got my great co-host with me. He's pumped up. He's made his tea. He seems reasonably relaxed. He's already called me
I'm wearing my old retired.
I'm wearing
my Hawaiian tropical print shirt right out of San Diego. I mean,
it must be the high 50s in Chicago.
Today it's 50. Yesterday was 82. Tomorrow it'll be 34. Then it'll be 76. God. Then it'll be 90. We have a big wheel in the city. They just spin it.
It's not the wheel of food.
What will it be today?
It's the wheel of weather, is it? You just throw a dart at it. And Spencer, would you like to introduce yourself to the audience?
I definitely would, Jonathan. My name is Spencer Foreman. And
I can't believe we made it. How many shows? 25 shows?
Yeah, it is quite amazing.
Tearing each other apart.
Killing ourselves, you know.
I am to be found at WPLaunchify.com, or my new portal is at SpencerForeman.com. I teach people how to do WordPress as a service for membership, marketing automation, e-commerce, and more.
Yeah, extensive knowledge. So, like I say, we're going to be looking at ConvertKit and comparing it with what we both feel is the leading native WordPress solution in this space, Fluent CRM. We've got some, I think it's going to be a great discussion. Before we go into the meat and potatoes of the show, I've got a couple of messages from our main sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Are you looking for ways to make your content more engaging? Sensei LMS by Automattic is the original WordPress solution for creating and selling online courses. Sensei's new interactive blocks can be added to any WordPress page or post. For example, interactive videos let you pause videos and display quizzes, lead generation forms, surveys, and more. For a 20% off discount for the tribe, just use the code WPTonic, all one word, when checking out and give Sensei a try today.
Hi there, folks. It's Jonathan Denwood here, and I want to tell you about one of our great sponsors, and that's Zolo.com. If you've got a WordPress website, a membership website, and you're looking to link it with a great financial management package, Zolo can provide this solution. So all your bookkeeping needs are done through Zolo. If you need new inbox email functionality and you don't want to pay the high charges that Google will charge you, Zolo offers a great email inbox platform. They've got over 50 apps and services that all integrate fantastic with WordPress at great value levels, and they almost always offer a fully functioning free product as well. So it's just amazing value. Also, if you're a WordPress developer or agency owner, Zolo are looking for great partnerships in the WordPress space. To get all this information, all you have to do, folks, is just go over to Zolo.com, and they have the products that you're looking for. Thank you so much, Zolo, for supporting WP Tonic and the Machine Membership shows. It's much appreciated. We're coming back. Just want to point out, if you're looking, we've got some great special deals from our sponsors. Plus, we've got a curated list of the best WordPress plugins. One of them is LaunchFlows, Spencer Forum Solutions. And they're all being tried by myself or the WP Tonic team. They're the best of breed. They're all listed on the page for you. categorized. This will save you an enormous amount of time reading out-of-date blog posts or blog posts from the chocolate factory, as we call it. And to get all these goodies, go over to WPTonic/deals. WPTonic/deals. So let's go straight into it. Well, I've got to say the founder and CEO of ConvertKit, Nathan Barry, is one of my online heroes. You know, to say that he understood where to position ConvertKit. I'm talking this in business terms, really, Spencer.
Nathan Barry.
Yeah, he is one smart cookie, and he just done a fantastic job of positioning and knowing the market segment that he was pitching. So what's your thoughts about the founder and about the more larger picture of what ConvertKit does and how it positions itself in the market, Spencer?
Well, we're also friends with Rob Walling here, who created Drip and sold it off to Clay Collins's group from Lead Pages. And what I would say is there's an origin story similarity. There was a time and place not that long ago where marketing automation, which is a distinct difference from regular email list, was something that was very hard to do. And it was only expensively done through things like Salesforce or Infusionsoft or HubSpot. And then I think Rob was one of the first with Drip to really realize, and his origin story is of late. I've seen his videos. I really love them. As you know, his journey of getting A to B to C. And he explained how marketing automation is really a distinct difference. And to build that was a sort of accident that he stumbled into. But he was at the same sort of same time, same place, I want to say, as Nathan Barry was. And I believe they're colleagues as well, where Nathan Barry was saying same problem, like for bloggers, because he was very big in the community of how to make content that you can sell on a recurring basis. He used to make these design guides and books. They both came up with independent solutions. And one of the things that I appreciate about Nathan, very inspirational to an old fogey like me, but he's young and he's a family guy and he is just like every time you turn around, he's digging in. But it looks to most people who've just met him or found him, oh, he's overnight success. Like, look, the company's doing millions of dollars of revenue. There was many times in that 10-year journey, I think it is, where he literally said, our recurring revenue is $2,000 a month. My overhead is like $30,000 a month. I'm having a nervous breakdown. My medical situation is like, it was horrible. I mean, and Rob explains the same to him. So what they've ended up doing about the product is the product is now much more mature. It is not I like to think it's the parallel. It's the yin to the yang of WordPress. It is focused on people who have membership sites, things to sell. It's a reality check like WordPress can be for somebody who just wants to make a community and sell stuff to them. And it's very nicely, I will say, for a SaaS, giving you just the amount of stuff you need to simply do that and not trying to be something more. And so I actually love, 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 love ConvertKit. So the way I'm in a position today is there's two distinguishing differences. If you want to own it, you want to control it, you want to have a box that's yours forever, you need to go the Fluent route. If you want a similar set of stuff that's being built for you that you can't own, you can't control, you really can't tweak and manipulate, but boy, oh boy, does it stay focused and is fairly priced. I love what ConvertKit is doing. So here's where the problem comes. Some people go, well, I've got a Tesla that I own and control, and I've got a Tesla that I lease. Do I need to put the two Teslas together in some way? And this is where, unfortunately, most of my answers are going to be no, because there is nothing about these that are very different, except for you've got the same great feature set, one you own and control and one you're renting. You don't need or want to put them together. So this is going to really come down to like, run one business on one, run one business on the other, see for yourself. But at the end of the day, you can't deny that one day Nathan could sell the thing off to GoDaddy or whatever and bye-bye. Or God forbid, Elon Musk might buy it. And then next thing you know, your business will be disconnected. And that's not going to happen when you do it on your own.
Yeah, I think there's two areas. I think one of the successes of ConvertKit, I think there's two real areas that really fascinate me before we go in comparing the two products in a lot more detail. But first of all, how, and Kajabi have done this as well, is that the ConvertKit team under his stewardship really focused at a particular audience and really got their product and persuaded influencers in that community, because he had built these relationships through his other business activities. And it's kind of seen, if you're in that kind of YouTube author, influencer, coaching, influencer market, you ask any, if you go onto YouTube, you go onto Twitter, you go onto Instagram, and you ask or put in a search, what's the best solution? ConvertKit comes up. And it's got its strengths, but it's also got its weaknesses. I think the other area was that compared to one of its biggest competitors, ActiveCampaign, it's a lot cheaper. If you're in that smaller list segment of between, let's say, 1,000 and 10,000 people, if you're in the bigger list and needing more sophisticated, the other thing I want to clarify that I'm correct about this, Spencer, is that ConvertKit, everybody's in one bucket, one list. If you need separate lists, you've got to buy another version, another ConvertKit. I think I'm correct.
Well, that doesn't bother me, depending on what we're talking about. Then, for example, in Fluent, people ask me all the time, Fluent lets me have multiple lists and then I can have unlimited tags. What should I do? I say, you want one list per business. Think of it like you're renting a hotel. You don't want to have 27 different rooms on different floors where things are going on. You want one big ballroom, like the WordPress event, and everybody has a booth, you know, tags that do differentiation or segmenting. And so from that standpoint, whatever the value proposition is of a one list, one account, that doesn't bother me on ConvertKit, because I don't think that people should be, you know, like having multiple lists. However, the question does become like, are you doing like Fluent would allow you? Maybe you have 7, 8, 9 lines of business. Fluent, with WP Fusion's help, can allow you to have one single installation of Fluent to cover all of those businesses. I do that myself. So that's an interesting conversation. I don't know actually off the top of my head whether if you paid for them, whether you'd have a central dashboard for each business that has a list in the ConvertKit or not. I don't know whether or not.
No, I'm pretty sure you only can't do that. That's one that's compared. But if you're in that 1,000, 10,000 list area, which a lot of single entrepreneurs selling services and products online is, the price compared to ActiveCampaign is a lot more attractive, and you've got a platform that is aimed at that target audience. When it comes to the price, I think the problem for ConvertKit is Fluent CRM. But in the SaaS space, I think one of its problems is MailLite, because I don't think it's a lot cheaper than ConvertKit. I don't think it's quite as polished in UX design, but
it's a different product altogether.
Why do you say that? Why do you think that?
So I have to be an expert to some degree of 57 different CRMs because of my affiliation working with WP Fusion and Jack and so forth. And I find that they have varying degrees of things built in this decade and past decades. MailerLite is on par with, I like to say, somebody who really wants to squeeze a nickel to get 6 pennies. And there are other CRMs that they could use that are very inexpensive for like mass mailing lists. But the devil is always in the details, because when it really comes down to Fluent CRM gives you a proposition. You pay 90, maybe retail 120 bucks a year, and you could grow the list to an unlimited number. MailerLite is sort of along those same lines where you're saving the money of a ConvertKit or an ActiveCampaign or any CRM that's SaaS, where they charge you per users a greater amount on your list. But MailerLite does not have the modern capabilities of Fluent CRM, and it certainly doesn't have the sensibilities of what ConvertKit has. So you are stepping like one step backwards into another era of stuff that, is it worth it? Like, I mean, the cost of ownership of Fluent CRM is obscenely low. It's 120 bucks a year. For ConvertKit, you could start it free, and 29 a month is like a reasonable amount per month to start. You're going to go up. You'll probably get up to like 150 bucks a month. But that's another big difference. When we talked about a moment ago, like own it, control it, Fluent, SaaS, like ConvertKit. Okay. As your business succeeds, you are going to be paying more. As your business succeeds, you are not going to be paying more. Might be relevant.
The only thing I think we got, I agree with a lot of what you say there, but what I think we got to clarify is when you say Fluent CRM is around $120, it won't physically send out the email. You will need some other service to work with it to actually physically send out.
Well, let's talk about that though, because it's not really that difficult. The thing about it is,
well, you don't, but a lot of other people do.
Let's talk about the mechanics. It's not that hard to talk about. You need a competent SMTP service. Okay. The easiest one I've used as of late, SendGrid. You pay $19 a month. You get 100,000 emails a month, for God's sake. Okay. Takes under 15 minutes to set up everything, including the copy-paste a couple DNS files. Is it hard for somebody who's never done it? No. It's like on the level of setting up your Google email. Yeah, but you do have to copy-paste a couple files in your DNS at GoDaddy. If you had help, it's no big deal at all. Once you've done that, for 19 bucks a month, you've got the thing that sends all your transactional emails and your marketing emails all from your own site and domain. That's pretty powerful because now you get to also unify the experience. Whereas, let's not forget, if you're using an external CRM, all that stuff that they're offering is happening like in a different Tesla. You've already got your one Tesla here in WordPress doing everything. Now you got another one in the garage and it's like, which Tesla are my customers sitting in? It can get confusing. That's why I'm saying, you really almost have to make a decision between are you doing a WordPress solution or not? Because if you're doing CMS stuff, you're doing custom pages, all the stuff you can do in WordPress, I honestly don't think ConvertKit is necessary versus a Fluent CRM.
Yeah, so let's, that was our introduction, folks. So let's go into some of the key points. Main dashboard, what do you think? I think like a lot of WordPress solutions, I think when it comes to UX design, I think, and it's always a continuous discussion with a major plugin in the WordPress space. Do they totally take over the dashboard for their particular plugin, or do they try and work in the metaphor of the WordPress dashboard? Obviously, a SaaS product doesn't have that question. You log in and there's the dashboard. So my stance is because of the realities of the platforms, I think that ConvertKit has a more polished dashboard. But on the other hand, if you're totally new, where I would like to get some feedback from you, if you were totally new to it, I think you would have a learning curve with ConvertKit. 100%. And you might have a slightly more... I just don't think the Fluent CRM is quite as polished, but I'm not sure if you're really new or you don't know anything about this, it's going to make a lot of difference.
No, I don't think it's going to make a difference. The last upgrade, I think it was version 2.8, just came out of Fluent, they actually improve some of the admin dashboard navigation. Like if you go into the Fluent CRM tab now, all the main things you want to go right to are there, like context, tags, settings, general settings, and so forth. It's just like a remote control. I mean, as long as the basic buttons are there and not too much, it's just a matter of like muscle memory where to go. I mean, we've had this conversation about page builders, right? Like, Oh, Elementor is so awesome. And it's really not necessarily true. It's just, I'm so used to Elementor. So if you are used to using one thing or another, it's going to feel a little different than if you came in from scratch. I don't read directions. And I've gone...
I'm totally shocked, Spencer.
It's my Curious George nature, right? But that's also a very decent way to validate this concept. Like, if you go in cold turkey on both of these, I don't find, in my experience, any less capability to figure out what's going on. If you understand the metaphors, right, to begin with, and that is to say, you have to understand the concepts of what they both do because you won't know what tools you're looking for, right? Otherwise, that would be, does that make sense? Like, in other words, you legitimately have to figure out what is it that I'm trying to do in order to use the like menu that leads to the automations or the tags or whatever. If you don't understand the concepts, it'd be like flying an airplane and looking at a bunch of gauges. I mean, it doesn't matter what order they're in, then none of them make any sense to you.
Is there any particular thing that you think you got that you can give some insight that makes setting up with Fluent or with... So basically, you don't think there's a lot of difference when it comes to the actual UX design and metaphor of the two when it comes to actually utilizing them?
I don't think it's worth mentioning, but what I would mention, which I think is nice, is that both of them have the capacity in different ways to achieve what people need to do. So for example, ConvertKit is first and foremost a CRM. It allows you to have a contact profile with tags and custom fields around which you have automations that can be triggered and then follow-up emails. Those capabilities are what it does first. Most CRMs stop there and they should stop there. WordPress is obviously a million things otherwise, but its primary function is a CMS, but Fluent is adding to it inside the CRM capacity. So here's where it gets interesting. WordPress, big CMS, everything you need to do, plus solid CRM, peanut butter and chocolate. ConvertKit, it's CRM first, solid, and it's adding CMS functions. Not that dissimilar to what Salesforce has done or Infusionsoft and so forth, but the difference is the way they're adding it is thoughtfully designed to stay pretty easy, pretty light, pretty just get it done for a modern type of sales. Whereas the Salesforce and Infusionsoft and HubSpot and all of those, I mean, I can go on the list, Entreport, they were from a different era of like 747s where you got all the engine dials and gauges and it's like, whoa, nobody... ConvertKit's more like, oh,
it's focused.
To make a sales page? Yes.
Yeah, it's really focused at its audience, isn't it?
But that's what you're ending up with. Your ConvertKit, you're renting, and it gives you some CMS to add to the CRM. WordPress, you own and control, and you're adding a plugin to give you CRM, but you still own and control it. But you still end up with peanut butter and chocolate. Right?
Yeah, CRM. In some ways, IMI, it's very similar in the WordPress space to the same way I admire Divi, its founder and its team. For all the things you can say about Divi, and sometimes I'm very cruel towards it, they just, its founder, the team, I feel they, unlike so many in the WordPress space, they really understand their audience. They really understand who they're targeting and who... through their verbiage, through their offering. Yeah. They really understood from day one their audience, which is something rare in the WordPress space, isn't it?
I think that Nick Roach and his team have figured out that they're primarily focused on a designer-first mindset. They come from a different place, a different era, and as a result, they understood their 800-something thousand users. They understood them. And so for that standpoint, they're not trying to pretend they're more or less. And they've had to overcome some recent problems, you know, like that Divi spits out short codes that are proprietary and stuff. So by staying in their lane in that way, they've kept that audience happy. And I think we've talked about in other shows, they've made a business decision that is very similar to Elementor, the bigger gorilla in the room. Elementor's left the building, Elementor cloud first, 15 million plus users. And by the way, it runs WordPress. Divi is taking more of a, we're still in the WordPress shell, but we're going to accommodate the fact that Gutenberg exists and we're going to make it work for people without having to undo the metaphor that made you happy to get here. ConvertKit's basic premise, which I like, is they've chosen an audience of basically people much like Nathan who have some kind of digital content that they want to sell once or in a membership. And they've just decided to add just enough CMS capability to make most people happy. But I think that you need to recognize that you're making a deal over which chocolate you're adding to your peanut butter, because instead of using WordPress first and always, you're now sort of saying, well, I'm going to use ConvertKit stuff. And for many people, that's like Gumroad, or that's like one of these other, like, I just want to sell it today, I don't care. But sometimes choosing that easy solution, like I'm just going to take ConvertKit and do a little more, you're paying the price down the road. I make the metaphor all the time of like a kid doesn't know how to ride a bike. You can buy them a tricycle today and they ride with no problem. But if they only keep that tricycle and they're in high school riding to pick up their boyfriend or girlfriend or something on their tricycle, they're going to look silly versus what if you got them a 10-speed bike today and put training wheels on it and got them going? Like WordPress is more complex, but you can expand it into anything forever. ConvertKit, you're going to be stuck in ConvertKit no matter what you do. So maybe the easy route isn't always the best route.
Yeah, it's a kind of similar discussion if you were looking at learning management systems, i.e. you're looking at LearnDash or Lyft LMS compared to Kajabi. It's exactly the same argument, isn't it? I think both Kajabi and ConvertKit, You have a lot of other products that are very good at making out they're easy, blah, 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 and they're not. And to some extent, you could apply that to these two, but there's also some substance to it. In some ways, they overemphasize it, but there is some meat on the bone, as I would say, that you get a unified interface. And if you're a certain mindset, it is with some of the key functionality aimed at a particular audience. So the audience that they're really aimed at is similar, Kajabi and ConvertKit. I think we're going to go for our break, folks, and then we go through the list that I've got, and then we have a roundup. It's been a great discussion so far. There's so much misinformation out there, folks, mostly driven by affiliate marketing. Me and Spencer, we're independent voices to some extent in this. We'll always be honest to our audience. And that's why I think the podcast is really growing. Thank you for joining us. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Hey, it's Spence from LaunchFlows.com. If you've been looking for a fast and easy way to create powerful sales funnels on WordPress, then look no further than LaunchFlows. In just minutes, you can easily create instant registration, upsells, downsells, order bumps, one-click checkouts, one-time offers, custom thank you pages, and best of all, no coding is required. For as little as $50 per year, you can own and control your entire sales funnel machine with LaunchFlows. Get your copy today.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back. I like to point out, if you're looking to host your WordPress website and have all the key plugins and functionality to build your membership website or your e-learning platform on WordPress, have a look at what WP Tonic's got to offer. Me and my team, we've got over 15 years experience in the WordPress space. We just specialize in membership and learning management systems. We provide a load of the key plugins, advice, consultancy. We set up all the marketing email basic functionality for you. It's a great solution. Just go over to WP Tonic and become part of the family. We'd love to help you. So, so we looked at the dashboard, adding new subscribers. Do you think there's anything fundamentally that people got to know about adding new subscribers, or do you think both solutions are quite similar when it comes to that?
Mechanically, the process is identical, but ConvertKit actually has a couple advantages, I would say, for the newbie. Number one, the nature of what it does is, first and foremost, to take somebody in from a form. So everything they do, it just has the form sort of built into it, and you can customize it, but like, it started as just that, so obviously that's the one feature set that's built in. You can do just as easy with Fluent using any form plugin, Gravity Forms, Contact Form 7, but obviously Fluent Forms, their free form plugin, is also pretty good for that. There's an advantage, of course, with Fluent, even without using WP Fusion, that you can also put somebody in your CRM because they're using LearnDash or because they're using WooCommerce or whatever. That natively integrates without any extra work. But it's fair to say that you have to at least understand in the WordPress space, I need to have a form set up and put on a page somewhere. The other advantage, or at least interesting difference between ConvertKit, is ConvertKit has this new ConvertKit, I don't know if they call it advertisers network or something, but
it's named, you've got to have a certain list size and have a certain volume of
well, if you want to be receiving, but if you want to be getting or giving, let's say I like Ramit Sethi or something like that, or Pat Flynn, they're on this network because they have high traffic websites. It was a brilliant idea, in my opinion. He made it possible that they can open up their sites and their newsletters, their email list, to having you advertise there. So you can pay money to get your product or service into their newsletter. I think it's called ConvertKit Subscriber Network. That's a brilliant idea for WordPress, something that we've actually talked about on a private level for a long time. The difference is, it's very easy to run that marketplace when you have top-down control. It's not so easy when you've got a world full of everybody's got a different recipe for the soup. Right. So you could talk to like Leslie Sims, who's been on your show, who's doing, you know, I think her product is about newsletters. And it's very difficult in the world of choices at the flea market to get that working out as easily. I mean, you could, but Nathan has a reputation. Nathan has the public presence to make it possible. And I've seen this quite often now. So that's interesting for somebody who is trying to buy their way into attention. Maybe it's better to buy your way into some big name newsletters than to spend money with Google and blow it on AdWords or something like that.
Yeah, but I apart from Gravity Forms, if you're which is a legacy, if you're doing something more complicated, even though Fluent Forms, but if you're going to use Fluent CRM, I don't think there's no. You should use Fluent Forms with it, shouldn't you? It's a no.
I would say, yeah. I mean, I like Gravity Forms. There, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, I like Gravity Forms. There's still some things that Gravity Forms can do, but I would say most of the time just use Fluent Forms because you've got that native integration. Yeah.
So you've got a few more loops, but the other thing, and I agree why you say it, but I just want you to try and explain what you still recommend. If you're using Fluent CRM with Fluent Forms, that you still add WP Fusion. And can you explain why you recommend that? Because Fluent CRM has its own tagging, but why do you then still recommend, if you're going fully native, you've gone native, as they would say in England, why do you still recommend WP Fusion as part of the mix?
I don't know about in Britain. Going native around here usually means you're not wearing any underwear. which does happen too, but that's not the point of today's conversation. I would say WP Fusion has a very deep array of things that it allows you to connect together, protect, and track the user's journey with, whereas Fluent has a very specific limited subset. However, the good news is that it really makes no difference, because if you think about it, if your only purpose is to connect just WooCommerce or just LearnDash or something, you might get away with just using Fluent CRM. But if it's like most sites, I say the cost of having WP Fusion on board is well worth it, because it is a universal connector. And when I go that route, I also make it easier for people in those instances where there is an overlap of the capability of WP Fusion and Fluent. So for example, in a WooCommerce product, when you set up the product data tabs, I would like to give you a tag when you buy this product that's unique to this product that lets me know you bought the product, and I can trigger an automation. WP Fusion, of course, gives you the tab that says which tag or tags are going to be given to you when you buy this. But Fluent does as well. So now the person asks me, Spence, which one should I use? Should I use both? I go, no. I say, put WP Fusion in, use that for anything that has to do with your actual connecting and content journey tracking and protection.
Well, the way I say is just utilize WP Fusion for the tagging.
Yeah, same way. But the idea is like, here's another way to say it. Imagine that Fluent CRM was a SaaS CRM. Then it wouldn't exist as an option to put a tag in on a product. It would be something that WP Fusion has to do the tagging and send the tag to Fluent. And if you keep it in that way, then Fluent is left to its best purposes, which is it manages the contacts with their tags, their custom fields, the automations, but it's not responsible for collecting or protecting data along the way. Instead, we use WP Fusion for that.
Rightio.
Right.
On to the next one, the email editor. They're both focused to some extent. Obviously, that there's been a big improvement, well, in Fluent CRM, because it can actually now produce kind of more what I call visual newsletters. But both traditionally have been aimed at producing more text-orientated, more plain-looking email that don't end up in the newsletter folder of Gmail. But what's your view of both email editors?
I really enjoyed how simple out-of-the-box ConvertKits is to use compared to most. So that's like I was mentioning before, like MailerLite. Not a fun experience. SendinBlue, which is at the same level of like send a trillion emails to strangers inexpensively, has an improved email editor, but it's still not quite up the same. So I would say ConvertKits is quite easy to use to make simple stuff, but the devil's always in the details, like beyond the simple stuff. Then when you want more granular control, sometimes it falls down. You can always use a third-party HTML5 email creator and paste in the code, which is nice because they both let you do that. Fluent has an interesting scenario at the moment where it allows you to either use HTML5 natively, like paste in from somewhere, use the Gutenberg blocks, a limited set of them, but still Gutenberg blocks, which is nice. And then they've got their, I can't figure this out, but I've been using it, but they've got their own proprietary WYSIWYG editor, which is actually very similar to ConvertKit, very easy to use.
Yeah.
But I just can't figure out why they're doing that versus the Gutenberg blocks, because the Gutenberg blocks actually is pretty good. Either way, though, it's not hard to get the results you want. And again, one of the things you get, here's another advantage. Advantage Fluent. Fluent has mail merge tags that connect natively into your WordPress ecosystem. Sorry, don't have that. Like if you want to know something about the WooCommerce product or the order or something that you just bought, like, sorry, can't get that detail over there in ConvertKit. ConvertKit might have the ability, I've never tested it, to know what you bought from them. But that's the same conversation of like, if you have a WordPress site, imagine it being like a physical store or a beautiful new gym. You get all the facilities in WordPress. And you have the capacity, having a cash register, to take credit cards at the desk. Like, why would you confuse the customer when they come in and go like, oh, you want to sign up for the Peloton class? Yeah, go down the street around the corner to my friend at ConvertKit, give them the money, then come back with a receipt. And then, by the way, later when I'm doing my books, I have to call up the dude in the trailer at ConvertKit, like, hey, give me all the money you took from people because I got to give it to my accountant to merge with the money I took on my WooCommerce place. It doesn't make sense. You see, that's where that pick one comes in. Either do it all in one business on ConvertKit, do it all in WordPress. Not an easy choice. I would say ConvertKit does better if you're not selling and instead you direct people from the newsletter or from the ConvertKit mail to your WordPress checkout. That would still make sense to me. But don't see, this is where I get pain. Like I get a little because I
well, like, I do started.
I like ConvertKit. I like it. But I'm going to reveal to you like my ultimate conversation. I've been talking about LaunchKit for a year. It's not, it shouldn't be any secret because I've been talking about this for 17 years. I already have a WordPress kit that does what ConvertKit does, as simple as ConvertKit, but it's WordPress. And that's the point because it doesn't compete with them. It's a choice. And for good reason, much like, look, is California beach better than Florida beach? I don't know. They both have water and sun and sand, but you clearly have different reasons to go to one or the other. And I think these are the things we're helping people understand. If you ask yourself, do I want to do more with my WordPress site? Do I need a site that has content and custom this and sales funnels, Learn Dash, all that? Just go WordPress. That's it. Thank you, Nathan. It was nice to talk to you, but I don't need ConvertKit. I'm going to do WordPress and Fluent. If on the other hand, you just got like, hey, I got one little tchotchke I want to sell and I want to have a really big newsletter and I want to advertise with other big names, ConvertKit might be a compelling thing to do.
Right. So let's go on to A to B testing. Where do you think both compare there?
I mean, Fluent really doesn't have, to my knowledge, A-B testing. I mean, it doesn't, it's not come on the feature set that I'm aware of, but there's plenty of tools that do that in the space. So for example, the neat thing about Fluent is you have WordPress. So you just set up A-B testing with one of the many tools. There's, you know, plugins that do it. There's services that do it. You just have page A, page B. The WordPress URL has the logic in it. So you put the same URL into the email, the newsletter, the button, and WordPress handles the person when they come to that URL.
Yeah, my spin on this, folks, is based on my experience, is unless you're sending out a lot of email, and that probably won't be ConvertKit. You can send out a ton of email through Fluent CRM, depending if you're what backbone service you're utilizing, and you're not spamming people, so you get suspended. But this, you know, and Fluent really doesn't have much A/B testing functionality. My experience of the type of people that utilize ConvertKit, you're not going to be doing a lot of this anyway.
Keep in mind, statistically, you've hit the nail on the head. People overestimate how much data you get from a small set of visitors. You don't. Like, you cannot come up with a statistically valid outcome on less than hundreds of thousands of people. You just can't. Yeah. I mean, 5,000 people, 10,000, it could still be very random. Who cares?
You're just guessing in the wind, basically. You need hundreds of thousands and a consistent you need consistent control of variables, and it's a good thing to add to the feature set, but doesn't really move, in my opinion. Other people would disagree, but that's there.
No, I think that's factually true. I mean, you know, and that's the point, isn't it? Like, people get worried about the wrong things up front. I have several customers that are in the EU and they're very concerned, maybe rightly so, with security and privacy and other compliance laws.
Oh, it's just on the top of, you know, instead of concentrating on running their business, they just worry about that, don't they?
I mean, maybe rightly so. But the point is, as an attorney and as somebody who knows the reasons and being here in America, I have a slightly different answer for people in the United States. Like, stop worrying about it, right? Like, just get it out of your head. And you've said you've seen some of your clients in the past who spend so much time fussing over the details of their design, they never publish their course. So I would say for most people, the point is try to triage where things really make a difference in your business and worry about those first. A-B testing is, who cares? Like, just...
Well, I know what really matters, folks. Sales. If you don't get any sales, you've got no business. So everything else is just extra. I'm not telling you you should do highly illegal stuff. I'm not, but apart from that...
I mean, it's sales, logic.
That matter.
Logic.
Yeah. Let's go, what about automations? So they both, I would say Fluent CRM is at a much different level. It's at the level Active Campaign or some of the more, but to be fair to ConvertKit, I think for what its target audience, it probably does what they need. But if you're really looking for that flexibility, it's a win for Fluent CRM. What do you think?
You have to also keep in mind what you're actually capable of doing. So back to my point of, if you're in WordPress and you've got WooCommerce, if you've got LearnDash, if you've got lots of other things, there are lots of things that are data points you could use to trigger an automation. Did somebody buy this product? Did somebody start this course? Did somebody click this button? When you're a ConvertKit, guess what you got? You got nothing. You got email and you got those sales pages. So did somebody open my email? Did somebody click this link or that link? Did somebody click but not open? You know, like there's all these things that are about email or about the sales page. That's it. Whereas in WordPress, you have a million other things that you could get granular about. And then what do you do about it? So in WP Fusion, Fluent, WordPress world, you could have an actual thing happen on the website as a consequence. You can't take something without WP Fusion that happens in ConvertKit and make it work on WordPress, which is back to my conversation. So you're in ConvertKit, you love it, everything's great. You do something that you track and you want to have the change in ConvertKit on the user's contact profile to do something different for them in WordPress. Well, you need WP Fusion. So now you're back to like WordPress, WP Fusion connected to ConvertKit and you're paying for ConvertKit. Why wouldn't you have just used Fluent in that case? You know what I mean? That's where it gets like, you can't really connect the two because it's Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. You don't need both of them. You need one or the other. Once you start bridging the gap, you're back to like, you only needed one or the other.
Right. On to the next one. Delivery.
I'm getting hungry for some Reese's.
You know, because you keep talking about deliverability. I don't know what, well, you know, if you're utilizing a quality backbone delivery system like SendGrid, you're not going to have a problem with Fluent. There's some other players out there, but I agree with Spencer. It's the one that we provide as part of our hosting. So I totally agree with Spencer. So, but I don't think ConvertKit. Have you heard any of deliverability problems with ConvertKit? I'd be surprised. I haven't.
What people don't realize, and I can't speak for them, but I'm going to bet they're using some Amazon SES, is that there's only about 7 or so primary SMTP services around the globe. And this is a consequence of the naughty, naughty, naughty spammers basically taking away all of our ability to run our own SMTP server like we can for a web server, because they're basically saying, look, these are the authorized companies that amongst ourselves we will trust to relay other ones in this group's mail. And they monitor and crack the whip, if you will, to make sure that nobody violates the rules in their own little group of customers. And if you do, that's where you get excommunicated, rightly so. So it's nearly impossible to have any deliverability unless you're using one of those services, even for a SaaS. So I think there was some irony, like, I'm pretty sure it was Landon Ray at Entreport, but he, and I forgive me, it's either him or Clayton Mask at Infusionsoft. I'm sure it was Entreport. They got busted. No, it was Clayton Mask. Sorry. They got busted with the fact that as Keep grew out of their disastrous rename back to Infusionsoft, it was revealed that, oh, by the way, we're actually not using our own product for a CRM or for sending. We're using like Salesforce through Amazon SES or something like that. So it was like ironic to the nth degree that the thing they're selling was not a tool they themselves used. And I think that's an example of the world we live in. You know, infrastructure is infrastructure. I'm in Chicago. You would think I could get fiber optic dropping a hat. I cannot. I'm still on a cable that Alexander Graham Bell himself laid down in 1879. And that's all they'll give me. Infrastructure monopoly.
I tell you, but folks, I was on a very popular Facebook group a couple of days ago. And it's around one of the WordPress leading, it was actually Learn Dash. And some poor soul was asking about the best email marketing automation service. Some poor soul on there looking for someone's advice. Some Ponce, a Keep certified implementer, chimed in and said, you should use Keep. And I kind of butted. I said, you got to be joking, aren't you? You know, and I thought, you bugger. You know, this trying to recommend Keep.
The Kool-Aid is deep over there, but, you know. The Kool-Aid pool is deep over there.
To say that, I thought, how can you live with yourself recommending that piece of crap?
I mean, it's like politics. It's like politics today. The problem in the WordPress space is there's an ecosystem of people at the flea market who find one booth one Sunday of somebody that had something that was clever, and then they perpetually think they've discovered the best solution ever, but they're immune to the reality of what might really be true. And Infusionsoft is like the original drink the Kool-Aid and use this no matter what. I mean, there's interesting examples in the yoga space or the fitness space, like MindBody Online. I mean, it's mind-boggling that when I professionally dealt with all these yoga instructors and studio owners, I would call them up and say, what are you using? MindBody Online. Why? I don't know. Everybody's using it. That's it. That's their answer. Same with Infusionsoft up until very recently when they
well, you always know a product is it's got some problems where it has to rebrand itself, doesn't it? Because it's got...
Which one? MindBody Online?
No, Keep and Infusionsoft to Keep. You always know you got a slight problem when you got to rebrand it.
I mean, they've already gone through this because they took, he explained it finally. He took private equity, Clayton Mask, and those guys ran the business into the ground, barely escaped with their dying breath. But by then, they went from being like one of three to one of 55 companies, and they were not any longer like holding all the cards. So that's how ConvertKit or Drip or any of these other ones, MailChimp got sold for $50 billion. Like they gave up their lead, like dropped out of the marathon, and then everybody else caught up and passed them, in my opinion. There are people who still use Infusionsoft, and they tend to come from the digital marketer legacy world, right? The San Diego Mafia, I like to call it, where they used to have an annual meetup. And what do you use? You use Infusionsoft. Oh, we're affiliates, by the way, for them and so forth. But that's how it went.
Yeah. On to the next one, landing page builder. Well, this is, I'll be interested to see what your advice is, because this is a strength of ConvertKit, but it's the way your attitude towards it. Fluent CRM doesn't provide a internal landing page system. ConvertKit does, and it's, the build is quite snazzy, actually. I've utilized it, and it's quite effective. So what's your thoughts about this? Because people would, you know, I think if they're looking at the two, this might be an area where Fluent CRM just gets brushed off. You know, oh, it doesn't have that feature, so we're going with ConvertKit.
Well, again, that's a true statement, but that's the mistake, isn't it? Because, for example, I was just indicating, and I've talked in other shows at great length, but that'll be part of my 2023 initiative.
You've been going on other shows, you know.
I have. I was going to say, I've been cheating on you heavily. You know, I was on Cadence Amplify. I was on LearnDash. I was on Rob Card's show. I was on with Chris Davis. this, all the fruit is coming off the tree now. But what I want to use as a metaphor is this. Without talking about headless or the potential for WordPress where you don't like literally do anything that faces front, just imagine a current WordPress site where you strip out the page builders and you're a simple stack. And let's use Cadence because I feel like they've got all the tools you need. Okay. I won't argue the other ones, but like if it just had Cadence, Cadence Blocks, WooCommerce, WooCommerce subscriptions, WP Fusion, Launch Flows, and LMS, you're essentially done. Okay. Competent hosting. Now, here's an interesting thing. If you're doing sales pages, like for sales funnels with Launch Flows and so forth, one way to put the pages together is using Gutenberg Blocks with Cadence. It's copy, paste, simple, it's easy. But what about if you took it one step further for simplicity and you had a company that had employees that they don't know how to do anything Gutenberg don't want to? Guess what you do? You just mosey right over to canva.com for free. Canva as a pretty like output builder, a page builder, is incredible. My mother could start building beautiful things on Canva by just choosing anything pretty. And then with the stack I just talked about, you can have a link that takes any product and immediately puts it into your custom checkout on the WordPress side of things. So imagine the WordPress side of things is just black and white and gray all over, generic, maybe with your logo. It's the engine. But on the front end, you're just using pretty pages on Canva and you just assign a link to buttons or buttons. Canva lets you host the pages for free. You can put your own domain on them, subdomain. But now you've got this really amazing thing that like you want somebody to sign up for your website. You want somebody to buy stuff and you've got 100 different things to make. Just make them pretty for free in Canva, paste the link to your WordPress engine and you're done.
You're not going to appreciate this observation. You've spent about 45 minutes just telling people that they should choose. You've got two choices. Either you go ConvertKit and that, or you go native.
You missed my point. So I'm going to say it. You've missed my point. Okay. The stack of WordPress with everything you do for your content, the thing you're selling, my LearnDash or Lifter LMS courses, that's WordPress. My products, my sales funnel checkout, that's all WooCommerce Launch Flows. The Fluent CRM for tracking and tagging with WP Fusion, that's all inside of there. It's an engine. What I'm specifically answering is number 8, landing page builder. What is a landing page? That is nothing more or less than like a billboard you stuck to a wall or put up on a pole. And I'm saying that if you build for your client an engine that has everything that when somebody arrives, delivers the product, delivers the course, does the membership, tracks the thing, keeps all that hard stuff, does not have to look different for you than it does for anyone else, right? Like I buy a white iPhone and nobody cares. There's a trillion white iPhones. All that matters is like, what does my particular screen have on it? Well, WordPress is an engine as a service. Can be associated with any kind of third-party stuff. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, or Canva lets you make a pretty picture, anybody with zero experience, and just take the link for your product that you as the web person can give to them and paste it into the button. That's my point. My point is ConvertKit is trying to be like Gutenberg. Okay, fine. But I'm saying there's a trick up my sleeve that nobody's doing yet. WordPress is an agnostic to design engine that you just take the links and give to your clients and let them put them on any buttons or anything they want on a Canva page, which can be hosted for free and is optimized. And that's a fascinating thing for a business because now it's like you've liberated them. Do you understand the difference?
Well, I'm following it, but I do think, I don't know for sure, they've given me no inside information. But I would imagine that, but it is a little bit tricky, but I would imagine Fluent CRM are looking, that's one area where they're probably going to add functionality, where you could build in Fluent CRM landing pages. But I suppose it's a little bit tricky because you've got to have the form functionality and they've got a separate plugin, Fluent.
No, you're missing the point. So Fluent has forms. Fluent actually, through Fluent Forms, can sell with Stripe. much like in ConvertKit, you can sell with Stripe. Both of them allow you to build landing pages. On the Fluent side, however, you don't actually need to build the landing page with Fluent because you could build the page out of anything in Gutenberg or whatever your page builder is. And furthermore, you don't have to sell with Stripe. You could sell with WooCommerce. And because they bought the WooCommerce product, they get put into the Fluent CRM anyway. But I'm taking it one step further and saying, fine, you got level one page builder in the CRM. Level two in Fluent, you got WordPress as the page builder. I'm saying level three is you take the mechanical link to the product being thrown to the checkout and you build with any outside tool you want. A Facebook ad, a Twitter video, a YouTube thing, even a Canva page. Put that link on something for your call to action. Boom, the person comes back.
And I totally understand what you were trying to explain, but I think you also got to take into consideration that you've got over 20 years experience. I'm just trying to place myself into the kind of average person that ConvertKit has been so effective at marketing at.
The difference, but hold on. Let's use this as an example. Here's a remote control. Four buttons on it, right? I could hand this to my mom, and I've actually done this. My mom's hilarious because she'll take a remote control and she'll hold it like this. Like, I'll be like, Mom, you're covering the infrared transmitter. What do you mean? I'm like, hold it like this. She's like, okay. And okay, but besides that, there's four buttons on it. In WordPress, we agree that the page builder of Gutenberg has made it now into the finish line of like simplest way possible to make something pretty, but it still takes a lot of effort to learn how to use Gutenberg, right? Even if from scratch. And in ConvertKit, we can agree that as nice and easy as it is, you still have to get pretty familiar with building stuff to use ConvertKit page builder. I'm saying there's a choice on the WordPress side that instead of building any sales pages ever in the WordPress space, you could just take the link from a product, which takes no effort at all. Make a product in WordPress with WooCommerce, put a price on it. LaunchFlows gives you a link. Put that link onto any pretty image you create in Canva that's hosted, and it becomes an instant sales page. That is easier than everything you're talking about.
Yeah.
That's the point. But nobody discusses it because, quite frankly, Nathan is brilliant at marketing, and he had a big audience, and he's made ConvertKit as it should be. A great choice, just like Gumroad was at the time, for people who just like, you know, listen, I want to just get going fast. And I'm trying to say WordPress's big problem is we kill everybody on every possible feature, but it's in the middle of the flea market and Matt Mullenweg isn't letting anybody get over that anytime soon. So we have to be vocal ourselves. And that's where my most amazing success this year has been. I'm finally talking about, hey, you know what WordPress can be? Nothing about all the parts. It's just here it is, delivered, ready to go. And this is one of the features because that's all that these SaaSes have been doing the whole time. They don't talk about, oh, look what we did on the code of our SaaS. They're just like, here's the features you see. And that's what WordPress needs to be going forward. And we've talked about that.
All right. So there's...
That's all I got to say about that, Jonathan.
That's nice. So let's look at pricing. So where are we? Because obviously ConvertKit has a free, but you can't really fundamentally use the free. I think the other one up is $29.99, around $30 per month. But it's okay if you're around 1,000, but if you start encroaching 5,000, between that 5,000 and 10, you're looking at from $70 to $100 compared to ActiveCampaign.
I'm looking at the calculator here. Hold on.
Yeah.
So, right. You start out, by the way, they have very fair offers. Fair. Because, for example, you could start for free. You could do
well. They're not deceptive like the Chocolate Factory, are they?
Don't even get me started. The thing that I really love, they have amazing training. They have great stuff. They do send out follow. So, they could not be better for their clear, concise education follow-up and offers. But more importantly, although I don't like the fact that their Stripe integration does not allow you to manually put your test keys in there. So here's one hiccup I found. I use the free account. I want to test it to see what the checkout is like to use their built-in. And I have to connect it to a real Stripe account, which means I have to validate the real Stripe account, or I have to use my own real Stripe account. That's actually stupid, because like they should have just a test experience that you could click a box. That's something that I do for every single client in WooCommerce. It's like, here, keep doing this on the test thing until we get it right. Okay. But beyond that, after you're done, they actually say, you know what, like we'll give you 30 days free, you know, more if you want. Like they're really interested in getting you on board. But when I move the slider from $300, which by the way, let's say Creator Pro is the comparable to WordPress. It really is. You need like, okay. When I move it up to, let's say 1,000 people, I'm at $59 a month. When I go to 3,000, I'm at $79 a month. Hold on. When I go to 5,000 people, which is not an that's not a huge number.
Between the 3,000 and 10,000 is probably, I don't know if you agree, is probably their average target. Would you agree with that?
Or
do you?
I would say most businesses get to 2,500 people very quickly on a mailing list. But hold on, let's just use 3,000 as example. I said a month, $79 a month. That's 790 plus 150. That's essentially 930 something dollars a year. Okay. And if you pay by the year, they give you 66 a month. So it's still $790 or $800. Fluent is $90 on sale, $120 on the regular. Okay. So what if your business succeeds amazingly and you're up to 5 or 10,000? At 10,000 on a monthly, you're at 167 a month. You're talking $1,800, $1,900 a year. And growing, if you really go crazy, you've got 100,000 people, you're at $900 a month. You know what you're at on Fluent? $90 a year. Okay. And remember, it was $19 a month to send 100,000 emails.
100,000 with, with your backbone, you know.
I'm just saying, like, this is where the tricycle, and you become really good at riding, and you become a two-wheeler eventually. Or you would, but you're on the Tour de France, Lance Armstrong riding his tricycle that he got when he was 6 years old. Like, never has happened, because the equipment needs to grow with you. You don't own and control this equipment. So besides the danger that Nathan sells off to some nefarious company that is going to shut you down because they don't like the way you look or your politics, and besides the fact that you can't do the direct stuff, as soon as you go out of baby steps, you immediately at literally 300 people is where you go past break even, because 300 people is $29 a month. That is already almost triple what it cost you for Fluent. So like, there's your false economy right off the bat. Like SMTP will cost you $19 a month. Maybe that leaves $9 left over, and you multiply that times 12, you're $108. So maybe at 500 people is where your break even point is. That's it. Decide up front, because it's not easy to undo it once you've moved over and go back.
No, that's true words there.
Round you found out.
Round up. It's interesting where email marketing automation, you know, the big gorilla was MailChimp. Great founders built up a great business. But as soon as they sold to, how do you pronounce it? Intuitive.
Intuit.
As soon as I heard that, I thought Intuit. Thank you.
Well, their underlying equity fund, I think it was. But you can. Yeah.
When I heard they were selling to them, I thought that's the end of it. You know, it in 4 years' time, it's just going to be another Constant Contact. You know, who utilizes? Like, this is what I want to know.
It's an old story, isn't it? Right.
But that's the reality, isn't it? Would you agree that any form?
I mean, MailChimp is not on the radar of things I would recommend anybody use. No. Of course not.
It's slowly becoming, it was the darling because it had that 2,000, which I think they've reduced to 500, haven't they, recently on their free?
They didn't build some. I mean, there's a similar story to what Clay Mask has, except Ben Chestnut and his team, well, Ben Chestnut and a couple people, his partner, got $5 billion or $50 billion. I can't remember the number. It was such a huge amount of money.
It's almost like those, it's almost like that phone company that in Barcelona. They got the $150 million investment.
$12 billion. $12 billion. But the point is, his team didn't get it necessarily, which was a whole, we discussed that years, you know, 2 years ago or whatever it was. It was in September of 2021. But that's a lesson for the wise. Like, you get Nathan, he's a great guy. Why would Nathan stick around if they throw $12 billion at his feet, right? So that happens and it goes over to Intuit. And next thing you know, things suck. And too bad for you, because this is the underlying lesson for 17 years that I've been talking, because I came from Ning. When I built my first company providing widgets and solutions for work and play on Ning, Mark Andreessen and Gina Bianchini and their whole team of lawyers and all the rest in public lit the house on fire to spite all the 12,500 people who made the bad decision to
such nice people to deal with.
I mean, Andreessen is not worrying about anybody anymore because he owns a quarter of the world as an investor. Gina Bianchini is off doing Mighty Networks, which is Mighty Bell or whatever, same thing. But this is the lesson. It's not, don't blame the people. They had $100 million of investor money. Of course they had to do what the investors wanted. Throw everybody out the door. When you own and control your own box, it doesn't happen. So there you go.
Well, I think it's been a great discussion. So, Spencer, how can people find out more about you and what other podcasts that you're appearing on? You know, how do people find out more?
People need to know, Jonathan, that we have a very open relationship. I just want to let people
know. I'm cool about it, you know. The Alan's observe your badness. That's what I'm going to say.
You can hear more about the details of this at SpencerForeman.com, F-O-R-M-A-N.com, is my hub that has all the content, including the recent Cadence Amplify and the Learn Dash event, Rob Karn's show. Again, Chris Davis did it. A couple other things are coming out. They're all consistently around the same things we talk about on this show in great detail. And again, I don't know if we need to send each other like a high five, but like 25 plus shows, that went fast. The idea is that we're
just like a blur, really, isn't it?
I remember seeing you in San Diego like 5 minutes ago, and that was last September.
It's just ridiculous.
So we are in a world where WordPress as a service is a thing. And I have made it my goal to teach people through this show and otherwise that there is a way. Call me for free over at WPLaunchify.com. Or go to one of the free resources or other things. And I just lay out in public. I don't keep any secrets. What we're in is a relationship world. So whether you're selling for your own products and services or you're doing it for your client, the automation and the tools have made it easy for people to have unlimited choices. It's about how you present it and to whom that keeps the human aspect going. And I think for many people, I think my customer base, there's a few younger folks in their 20s and 30s, but most of them are Gen Xers like myself and up who recognize the value in a world of ultimate choices, what it was like in the world when there was very few choices, that people care what other people can do to help them. And so I think if you know the stack of stuff to use for yourself or your customers, you're going to be better able to just help people because they're lazy. Everyone wants to be spoon-fed and ask their friends what to do and how to do it. And that's where you can win in a world where there's infinite choices. So get that from me here or at SpencerForeman.com, WPLaunchify.com, and a free call. This week, I was very pleased. I will say, from a marketing standpoint, I often get people from the show who call me. I had 5 people call me from one of those or 2 of those events. All of them converted because the thing that they found was, you're the first person that just told me the truth about what to use. And I find that ironic, but it's not that dissimilar from what we say every week. There's a flea market going on. And if you pull the people out of the flea market and just go, here, do this, they're very glad to take, you know, your factual advice.
Yeah, there we go. And please join us every Friday at 8:30 Pacific Standard Time. You've got any questions, we will answer them during the show. So it's useful to join us live. You find to join us, just go to the WP Tonic YouTube channel, or you can join the Membership Machine Facebook group, and you can join, watch the show live on that as well. Plus, me and Spencer are admins on that group, and if you've got any questions, you can ask them there. And we've got a great community, and it's totally free. So join us there. You'll find all the links to these areas in the show notes. We will be back next week. We'll see you soon, folks. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Membership Machine Show. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes and leave a rating to support the show. Until next time.